From Burnaby to White Rock to Hope and all points in between, this is Fraser Health, bringing you our Better Health, Best in Healthcare podcast with healthy living tips from our experts. Today, we're talking about eating disorders with Elspeth Humphreys, Regional Coordinator for the Fraser Health Eating Disorders Program. Hi, Elspeth. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here at Fraser Health?
Yeah, so I'm responsible. I'm the Regional Coordinator for the Adult Eating Disorder Programs within Fraser Health.
Great. And maybe before we get started here, can you tell us what is an eating disorder?
Sure. Simply put, an eating disorder involves a serious disturbance in someone's eating behavior. That could be either eating too much or too little. Oftentimes there's serious body image concerns, and there's all sorts of medical and psychiatric symptoms that go along with that. But oftentimes what people think about this, they have this concept that people with eating disorders are someone, a young woman who's malnourished and underweight. And I always like to dispel that, because someone with an eating disorder can look like anyone. Boys, men, girls, women, we see everyone in our programs, but it can happen to anyone in all shapes and sizes. So having an eating disorder just doesn't mean that you have to be underweight.
And so it sounds like eating disorders cross quite a broad spectrum of the population. Is there any particular population that affects more than others, though? Do you have any more statistical information on that?
I can speak to, within Fraser Health, looking at stats from 2010, we know that there's about 6,000 men, women, boys, and girls struggling with anorexia or bulimia within Fraser Health at one time. However, if we were to include a broader look of eating disorders, include, eating disorders not otherwise specified or binge eating disorder, that number would probably double, if not triple, within Fraser Health. So there's many, many people that are struggling. And also, eating disorders are a very serious illness. They have the highest mortality rate of any mental health issue, and that's due to medical complications as well as psychiatric.
So where do eating disorders start?
Well, it's very complicated. We give people a diagram called the social ecological model that just shows how many factors can be involved in someone developing an eating disorder. So there's individual factors, there's family factors, there are cultural factors. So there's lots of things that might contribute and make someone more susceptible to developing an eating disorder. Typically there are some signs and symptoms that you might want to look for in your loved one. So there often is an obsession within this, or in being in shape, because many boys and men want to have sort of that buff look. So it's not necessarily about thinness, but it's about being in shape. They often will starve themselves in an attempt to either reach a desirable weight, or it can be significantly below a healthy weight. You're going to either see weight loss or rapid weight changes or fluctuations in a person's weight. There's extreme fear of weight gain, poor and distorted body image, so they can't see themselves how others see them. They're never happy. And then also what you're going to notice is depressed mood, anxiety increasing, social withdrawal. Most social situations involve food, and so the anxiety that comes with that, many people tend to withdraw. So if it's a friend or a loved one, they're not going to be showing up at, functions as much. They're not going to be wanting to go out. That's sort of some of the typical things that you might notice. However, many times people hide it. They hide it really well. And there's a lot of shame and guilt that comes along with it. So people aren't necessarily going to open up unless they feel safe about what they're struggling with.
Okay. So I think there's a lot of pressure out there in conversation circles around needing to lose that extra 5 or 10 pounds, not just so you can fit into that pair of jeans you wore a decade ago, but to help ward off things like diabetes, health, high blood pressure, joint pain, etc. Is there anything wrong with that kind of thinking?
Well, that's sort of, when I hear that, because I think that's such normal part of most people's conversation. Every day, those kind of conversations are going on. And I would call that kind of talk, I would call it fat talk. And if I can get any point across, is that fat talk is really damaging. It actually contributes to the development of eating disorders, and it makes us not feel good about ourselves. So there's lots of misinformation out there that health means being thin. And that's just not true. There's lots of research around health at every size. And that just goes to show that just because someone's lost weight, they may not have done that in a healthy way. So I'm always curious about that. Like, how did someone lose that weight? And also dieting, we know, doesn't work. So many people gain it back and then they're beating themselves up. So I would encourage people to educate themselves a little bit about fat talk. There's some great videos and resources around that. And try to steer the conversation away from that to looking at healthy behaviors. So let's, you know, get more physically active. Let's eat nutritionally. Let's get enough sleep. Focusing on that, because that's more likely to equate to being healthier and happier.
And so what steps can you take to prevent the development of more serious problems in yourself or your loved one in relationship to eating disorders?
Yeah, so prevention is really important. We want people not to end up with an eating disorder. So for families, you know, try to create a really safe environment at home. So try to have a home where no one's dieting, where people aren't engaging in fat talk. Try to be curious about what's going on for your loved one. Is there stressful things going on? Do they feel comfortable opening up and talking about their feelings with you? Focus on celebrating a person's accomplishments and strengths that are unrelated to body shape and weight. So what else? Steer the conversation away from food. Those sort of things. And then seek help early, because we do know that the sooner someone can get help and support, the sooner they can recover. Those would be my tips.
Okay. And then what should you do if you think you or a loved one does have an eating disorder?
Well, talk to someone. There's some great information and education out there online, and there's some great websites. There is mindcheck.ca, there's fraserhealth.ca, as well as the Center for Excellence for Eating Disorders, and that website is cfe.kelteyeatingdisorders.ca. You know, call myself, call someone, make some inquiries. Try not to focus on the person's body shape or weight or on food. Try to talk to them about what's going on for them. Try to be a support to them. That's what I would suggest, is focusing on that.
Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Just that, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. I love what I do, and I really want people to know that we really believe that recovery is possible, and really want to encourage people to try to reach out, try to get some support for this, because it's really important to start having that conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Elspeth. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
For more information on eating disorders, see fraserhealth.ca and mindcheck.ca. And as always, we welcome your comments at feedback@fraserhealth.ca. Until next time, thanks for joining us for Better Health, Best in Healthcare.